Yeah, he's Mr. Funky. He's Mr. Funky Teacher. Mr. Funky Teacher inspires greatness. Makes you feel good like your favorite playlist. Keeping that fresh and funky, yes he does. He got some funky cool ideas to share for all you teachers. He can empower others, students and teachers. It's all about hard work and creativity. He brings out the kindness in everyone. He's got the passion to teach, you hear it when he speaks. He knows how to build strong relationships. If you're seeking the best, the funkiest, he is it. He will empower you to improve. You'll be helping others and loving it too. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Mr. Funky Teacher with BeAFunkyTeacher.com. I'm coming to you with another Be a Funky Teacher podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is called Why Vulnerability Matters with Kids. And I'm going to start by naming something that a lot of educators feel but don't always say out loud. Vulnerability is uncomfortable in schools. It can feel risky, can't it? It can feel misunderstood. And sometimes it can feel like something you're not supposed to do. We are often told to be strong, to be confident, and in control at all times. But kids, they don't just learn from what we teach. They learn from how we show up. So today, I want to talk about why vulnerability, when it's done the right way, it doesn't weaken classrooms, it strengthens them. Before we get into it, I want to ground myself in gratitude, and I'm going to talk about three things that I'm thankful for. First thing that I'm thankful for is staying calm through situations that require calm, clear thinking. Those moments where things could escalate, but I'm able to stay steady. And that's an important skill, I think, to be able to do. And I'm so thankful that I have that skill and I've developed that skill over the years. It's not something that's going to get applauded or anything like that, but it is an important skill for me. And especially, I think about working in a people business and working around people, whether it be people in my personal life, people in my professional life. We encounter situations that we have to deal with where it's so important that we stay calm and clear-headed. So I'm thankful that I have that ability to do that. Second thing that I'm thankful for, silly fun mascots and props in my classroom. They bring humor into the room, lower stress, and give kids something familiar to connect to when learning can sometimes feel heavy. And the third thing that I'm thankful for is for post-it notes, sticky notes. Those simple, flexible, powerful little packets of surprise. You can use them to jot down reminders, write down little quiet, encouraging messages, or help students organize their thinking. They're such a powerful tool. Well, let's get into the main topic now. Why vulnerability matters with kids. Vulnerability, it is often misunderstood. I want to kind of clear this up here, that vulnerability with kids does not mean oversharing. It doesn't mean telling students adult problems. All right, I think that's important to note too, that it doesn't mean, you know, there's certain things that we don't want to get into with students, of course, but vulnerability with kids doesn't mean that you're oversharing. It doesn't mean telling students adult problems, but it also doesn't mean that breaking down emotionally in front of students. That's not what I'm saying here. And it definitely, y'all, it doesn't mean losing boundaries. So, you know, when we're being vulnerable with kids, let's talk about when we're being vulnerable with kids, let's talk about what healthy vulnerability looks like as a teacher. Healthy vulnerability, it looks like naming emotions with students in age-appropriate ways. It means admitting when something doesn't go as planned. It means modeling how to recover when things get hard. It's not about making the classroom about you. That's not what I'm saying here. It's not about turning the classroom into where it's all focused on you, but it's about teaching kids how humans navigate real life. There has to be age appropriateness. I mean, you know, a teacher's not going to stand up and talk about, go in depth talking about, hey, a divorce. Now, there might be a teacher who stands up and shares about maybe that teacher's parents got a divorce or maybe some age appropriate reflection on how that was dealt with. See, so we have to, there's some professionalism and some boundaries that we have to put in place where we just don't want to just kind of puke out everything on students, where that's not necessarily the healthiest situation here. But there are certain elements and certain things that we're able to share in a way where it would be meaningful and teach young people about, hey, this is real life. And, you know, it might help them if they're encountering something challenging in their life. Let me just take you into a classroom moment. Something, something unexpected happens. Let's say a lesson doesn't land. Maybe technology fails. A student you might have might react emotionally, and you feel that instant tension. And right there, you have a choice. You can power through. You can pretend nothing happened, or you can also clamp down with control, right? Or you can pause. You can say something like, "Hey, okay, y'all, that didn't go the way I expected. Let's take a breath and reset." See, that moment matters more than we realize, because it tells kids that, hey, mistakes, they're not emergencies. That emotions, well, emotions, we can acknowledge emotions. And adults don't panic when plans change. Or maybe adults do panic a little bit when plans change. And that's okay too, because we're human. We're not robots. That's being vulnerable. That's showing vulnerability, and it can help create a calmness that can be, I think, very impactful for young people, because it kind of helps them kind of develop their strategies for connection and being in a space where, hey, things don't go according to plan always. I've been in situations in my classroom where maybe technology hasn't worked, and I have a moment of frustration, and I say, no, wait, I'm going to reset. And then this isn't going according to plan, so I'm going to adjust what we're doing here. We're going to pivot. That's okay. That matters to students, because they need to see how I handle myself in a situation like that. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be, not everything has to be smooth and perfectly implemented to be a successful teacher, because that's not real life. Kids, they need to see adults be real. Kids are—they're incredibly perceptive. Kids, they're perceptive, y'all, and they know when adults are pretending that everything is fine. They feel tension even when no one names it. When teachers hide emotions, well, kids often the kids can internalize stress. They can mirror that anxiety. Or they can even act out in confusion, y'all. But when teachers, they come to a situation where they model calm vulnerability, students are going to feel safer. There's going to be opportunities to de-escalate behaviors. And trust is going to grow in the classroom. Students, they don't need perfection. They need steadiness. So let's talk about the concept of authority versus trust, all right? Authority can get short-term compliance, being that authority in the classroom. But trust, it creates long-term connection. See, when a teacher can say, I'm frustrated, but I'm okay, or I need a second to think, or, hey, I made a mistake, let's fix it. You know, when you say that as a funky teacher working with kids, here are some things that kids learn. Kids learn that, hey, honesty is allowed. Kids learn that, hey, repair is possible. And they learn that learning includes missteps. That trust, it doesn't always show up immediately. Let's just be real. It doesn't show up immediately, but it shows up later, often when a student really needs you. So vulnerability is such a powerful thing, to be vulnerable with students. Let me talk a little bit about what vulnerability used to feel like to me. I got to be honest here. I always am. Early on, vulnerability felt risky as a teacher. I was worried it would make me look unsure. It would weaken my authority. I also worried it would open a door to chaos. So there were, early on, I tried to avoid it. I tried to always appear in control. And actually, I still sometimes have to check myself, because I still like to show that I'm conducting myself and that I'm in control, and I have to dial myself back in and make sure that I'm bringing a sense of vulnerability into my classroom and into the space, even working with the other adults in the building, where being vulnerable, that's important too, that I'm not necessarily connecting as much with them if I'm just looking like I'm wanting to give a presence that I'm always in control and not being vulnerable. And so it's not just with students, it's with teachers too. So, but I think earlier in my career, I think I did it a lot more, where I wanted to give that sense of that I was in control. See, here's what I noticed though. Kids, when I tried to not show my vulnerability to kids, what I noticed was that kids didn't feel more secure. They felt more guarded. In my career, when I think back, my decades of teaching, the times that I have tried to act more in control and not vulnerable, you can tell they're more guarded. And when I slowed, when I slowly allowed myself to be human, where I was calm, honest, and grounded, see, things shifted. The energy shifted in the room. My relationship, working with students, shifted. You had kids leaning in. They trusted more. They took more risks. See, vulnerability, it didn't cost me leadership. When working with students, it deepened it. It deepened those connections. See, vulnerability, it teaches life skills. When kids watch adults handle emotions responsibly, they're learning skills that go far beyond school. See, they're learning how to pause instead of reacting, how to name emotions. They're learning how to recover from mistakes. Those lessons, they don't come with a worksheet, do they? But they come from watching us every single day. Let's talk about how vulnerability creates permission for kids. Here's the quiet impact. When teachers model healthy vulnerability, kids, they feel permission. Permission to ask for help, to admit confusion, to try again, and also to be human. And when they feel that permission, learning, it goes so much deeper. So being vulnerable, as I do a closing reflection here, vulnerability, it isn't about being emotional in front of kids. And I'm focusing in this episode specifically about kids, but it's the same thing with adults. Vulnerability isn't about being emotional in front of kids and adults, right? That we work with. But primarily we're focusing on kids, but it same thing applies with our fellow paraprofessionals and fellow educators, fellow administrators, the administrators around. Vulnerability isn't about being emotional in front of others. It's about being human in a way that's grounded and responsible. You see, when teachers show up honestly, our students that we work with, they feel safer. They feel seen. And they feel allowed to be human. And that changes the culture of a classroom in ways that no program ever could. Well, if you found value in this episode, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast and hit me up with a 5-star review and let me know what you think. It helps more teachers find this space. And I want you to remember to inspire greatness in young people. And don't forget to be a funky teacher. Bye now.
He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah, yeah, yeah.